You are listening to Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Craig Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is Neil Weinberg, executive editor at Forbes magazine. We want to get his thoughts on the revelations of the $165 million in bonuses shelled out to AIG executives from the bailout money, and also, of course, the resulting outrage in New York State and here in Washington. And Neil, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Is this a situation kind of like the automakers when they flew their private jets to ask for bailout money where it just looks bad, or is this really an indication that the AIG folks don't have their act together?
I think this is optics. And first, let me say, I think that the executive compensation practices in this country among large corporations are obscene and are in screaming need of reform. But I do think that this is something of a political witch hunt here. You know, let's face it, we're talking about bailouts in the neighborhoods of hundreds of billions of dollars, $1 trillion, $160 billion for AIG alone. And if you're talking about $160 million, it's a rounding error. But of course, rounding errors can make a great deal of difference to political careers in Washington.
Certainly true. I ran it on the calculator twice because there's a lot of zeros involved here. But of the $170 billion given to AIG through the various TARPA intrusions there, this is less than 0.1%. What should we ask about the remaining 99% plus?
Well, the big question, and this is something that the Treasury has been very averse to disclose any details, is why, first of all, they didn't want to tell you where the money went, and now we sort of know where the money went. It went to large financial institutions, and that raises the question, of course, of why it went to these large financial institutions. Essentially, what these so-called counterparties who had been doing business with AIG did was they bought insurance policies from AIG. It looks like the government paid off these insurance policies in full, which raises the question of why they did that. Why would the government do that? We don't believe that the products that were insured actually were worthless. So it raises the question and leaves a lot of people scratching their heads as to why the government paid them off.
Is AIG too big or too important to fail?
It seems that way, and I think one of the real major lessons we're going to come away with from this financial crisis is that we have a lot of institutions in this country which have been either non-regulated or poorly regulated, which pose a so-called systemic risk, a risk that the financial overseers of our system would feel is too great to let these companies go under. And these could be hedge funds, these could be insurance companies, which by convention in this country are regulated on a state level and not a federal level. These could be private equity funds, these could be overseas institutions, or these could be banks which are trading in non-regulated products like credit default swaps. But it's very much, as we know now, a toxic combination where something we didn't really realize was a systemic risk can come back and become an enormous risk. Who would have thought that AIG, the world's largest insurer, would essentially be on the verge of blowing up the world financial system in a product that wasn't even really central to what it did?
Neil, you mentioned a moment ago that a lot of this could really be a political witch hunt when you look at the fact that these bonuses were specifically put into the legislation that allowed the taxpayer money to go to AIG. And then you look at the fact that there really weren't too many oversight parameters placed on this money about what the companies could do with it. What should Washington have done differently if they wanted to avoid this headache?
Well, from the General Accounting Office and the various overseers, it appears that the government has been so busy shoveling our money out the door the last couple months that it has done a very poor job on many levels of seeing whether that money is actually, you know, gainfully employed on behalf of U.S. taxpayers. You know, in retrospect, in a year or two or three, when we really can sort of parcel out how this money was spent, we're going to find that large portions of it were utterly wasted.
What's the road back for AIG? How do they pick up the pieces here? Clearly, they've needed, I believe, now three installments of TARP money just to stay in business. So what sort of a roadmap, if any, that we can figure out should they pursue?
Well, my understanding is that they wrote about $500 billion worth of these so-called credit default swaps, and it's really impossible at this point to know how much of that the government has essentially underwritten, how much those are worth, where the bottom to this seemingly bottomless pit is. But certainly one would think that when this is all said and done, the government is going to have to force this company either to break itself up and sell off the pieces to pay back taxpayers in part for all the money we've put up, or it is going to have to essentially be paying back the U.S. government for years and years on end, because an insurer is going to have to work a long time to pay back $180 billion.
A little more than a minute remaining with Neil Weinberg of Forbes. And Neil, let's come full circle here and kind of end where we started, and that's talking about executive bonuses. Some say clearly if the company is run this far into the ground, the executives don't necessarily deserve that much of a bonus. Others say, look, if you're going to dig out, then you need to be able to compensate the people that have the talent to get you out of the hole. Which is the better argument, do you think?
Of course, you sort of wonder if you need to hold your nose and keep some of this talent around. This is why I think you, in some cases, you do need to do that. And the real focus of this debate should be going forward. What do we need to do to make sure that we don't create incentives to do the wrong things again? And I think the answer to that is that the financial bonuses that people receive on Wall Street need to be made much more long term. You shouldn't be paid based on what you or your group makes this quarter or this year. This has to be based on whether you're building value for shareholders over the next 2, 3, 5, 10 years.
And is this a big wake-up call for the others receiving the TARP money?
Absolutely. This should be a wake-up call for our entire financial system, as well as the system of capitalism we have in this country. You give people incentives to do the wrong things, a lot of people will do that.
Neil, unfortunately, that needs to be the last word. Thank you very much for your time and your insight.
Thank you.
Neil Weinberg, executive editor at Forbes magazine. This is Dateline Washington.